shall we turn to the Revelation, please? Book of the Revelation. Chapter 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part. The margin has it, from the tree of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly, Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You will notice that this is the last presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ to his own that are in the world. Some 60 years after his crucifixion, you know, he came into the world through the gate, lowly gateway of the Virgin's womb. He grew up. He blossomed forth. He unfolded before God and man. He took part in flesh and blood. And he came not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. So God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And so he wended his way in obedience to the Father to the place called Golgotha, the place of a skull. In the Greek, it's spoken of as Calvary, and there he laid down his life in obedience, first of all, to God the Father, and in love for our poor lost souls. And then we read that loving hands took him down from that cross, the place of the skull, and they moved him around the hill into the tomb where they buried him. And for 3 days he was in the heart of the earth. There, seemingly, man was triumphant in putting him to death. Satan felt as though he excelled, no doubt, in complete victory. But on the third day, God exercised the exceeding greatness of his power, and he raised him from among the dead. And he passed through the heavens. The Bible says, after he made purification for our sins, he passed through the heavens and he set himself down at God's right hand. I love a Savior like that, don't you? Hallelujah, what a Savior. But here he presents himself in that lovely, lowly, simple, plain, personal name, Jesus. Even though he holds down the highest station in glory, he says to his people, his own that are in the world, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify these things unto the churches. Oh, that lovely name. Doesn't our minds go back to the first time that he presented himself to us in lowly grace and in the deepest need of our history here on earth? He made himself known to us as Jesus, the one who forgave our sins in our deep need. How it stirs our hearts to hear him say from the glory, some 60 years after his crucifixion, after his casting out of this world, to hear him say, I, Jesus. Oh, it brings before us those lovely words of the Apostle Paul, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was in the very form of God, yet thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things unto the churches. And what were some of the things? I'm just going to mention a few. I'm sure there isn't a soul here this morning who wouldn't like to go to heaven. We sometimes sing, you know. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven and the things there to behold. Oh, what a glorious day that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of glory. I'm bound for that beautiful city the Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages shall sing glory around his great throne. Do you grow homesick for heaven? Well, in chapter 21, there we are given a picture of heaven. One of the seven angels that poured out the seven last bowls of wrath on the earth in judgment said to John, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And lo and behold, you know what he showed John? He showed him a city coming down from God out of heaven. And there we are permitted to see with John that beautiful city on especially the outside of the city. Where do we look? And of course, we see the glory of God there. And we see the precious stones that are so beautiful and glorious manifold in colors. And we see the gates of that city. And you also see the 12 walls of that city. And the very apostles are in the foundation of it. There you see the outside, but when you come to chapter 22, the chapter we're in now, at the beginning, again the angel says, come and I will show you. Or he says, I will show, and he showed me rather. And here he shows him into the inside. And I love this. I love to look at both the outside and the inside. On the inside, he sees a throne. And he sees the Lamb on that throne. And he sees a pure river of water flowing out of that throne. And everything, it seems as though the river touches, it has refreshment, and there is life, and the very tree of life is on the banks of that river. And when you think of the tree of life, it's that tree that was in the Garden of Eden, the garden of God's delight. In the very first part of your Bible, it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There he is as the tree of life. In the Garden of Eden, man was cast out because of his disobedience and rebellion. Adam must go to the outside. And the angel with the flaming sword, it glittered in every way. It would not admit or permit man to come in to partake of the tree of life and live forever in his rebellion and disobedience and sin. But, oh, here sin has been put away. This is even more than salvation's day. The Lamb is on the throne. The pure river of water is flowing out. And there is the tree of life. And oh, there's 12 manner of fruit that it produces, a different variety for every month. And I believe without a doubt, this is a manifold impressions of Jesus, our Savior. And that will be the portion of everyone who goes to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. Are you? Or are you just satisfied with this puny world storm? If you owned it all, you would have to admit, sooner or later, that you were, of most people, very poor. But the glory of heaven is before us here. And this pure river of water with all of its refreshment and the tree of life and the 12 manner of fruit. And oh, the beauty of it. There's no night, there's no lamp there, neither is there the light of the sun. But we read that the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Oh, you might not now, as a child of God, be very well accepted, possibly in the community in which you live. You may be made light of to a great degree, but how blessed it is to know that the time of glory is coming. And just remember this. This is the time of the sufferings of Christ. It's the glory that shall follow. Well, how does this affect John? How do these things that the Lord Jesus is presenting to the churches, how did it affect John? Well, John fell down before the angel and he began to worship him. And I have real sympathy with John in falling down before this angel, because he heard the word of the Lord speaking through the lips of the angel, which said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words or the sayings of this prophecy." And I have no doubt that John thought the deity was speaking directly to him. Oh, how are you getting along with keeping the words of the Lord Jesus? They are words concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. How much he appreciates in the glory your obedience to his word. Tell me, how are you getting along with it? Oh, as obedient children, redeeming the time, knowing the character of the days, that they are evil. The Lord Jesus said to his own, just before he went up into glory, he said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Oh, isn't this wonderful to realize that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Father is in you. The Spirit is in you. And yet, physically and bodily, he's on the throne. And he's speaking right out of heaven and saying, "I, Jesus, have sent my messenger or my angel to testify these things unto the churches." And then notice all the multiplicity of names and titles here just so affects our hearts. It captivates our hearts. Notice what he says here in verse 16, "I am the root and the offspring of David." The root, everything that made David great. Jesus was the root. David couldn't carry out all the promises of God to him. God made great promises to David, but David had to say, "My house is not so." But he spoke of one who would come, who would be as bright is the morning, and who would bring refreshment and blessing to the whole earth. He spoke of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and every promise that will eventually bring gladness to the whole earth. Jesus was the root of every one of those promises, and I love to hear him say that he was a minister to the circumcision, a minister to the Jews, for the truth of God, and to confirm the promises given unto the fathers. And David was the main one, no doubt, that he had in mind. And oh, how blessed it will be to realize that he's not only the root of David, the source of all of the promises for this poor, lost world of ours, but he's the offspring. Both the root and he's the offspring of David. And I have no doubt that that's why the Apostle Paul, when he speaks of the gospel of the glory of our blessed and happy God, he says, "Remember that Jesus was of the seed of David. The seed of David according to my gospel. And yet he was the Son of God with power by the resurrection of dead bodies." Oh, think of the one that is before us this morning. Think of the one that is spoken out of heaven some 60 years after the death that he accomplished at Jerusalem, saying words such as these, "I am the root, I am the offspring of David, and here is this blessed, blessed, blessed title, and I love to think of it even as a name. I'm the bright and the morning star. This is how he really presents himself to the church, as now, the bright and the morning star. Peter, when he speaks of it, he speaks of it as the day star arising in our hearts. It's the same word, the same thought as the morning star. The day star is that which appears during the darkest part of the night and just before the day breaks. Oh, can't you see now how the world is asleep? Asleep, knowing not the bright and the morning star. And it's the night of his rejection. Men have seized his inheritance. They've taken over. He was born king. The last time that was seen here on the earth, it was in mockery. A placard hung above his head. King of the Jews. And one said, say not King of the Jews, but that he said he was. What Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And our God can cause the wrath of man to praise him. And I would like to say this to you this morning, if you're here without comfort and rest, if you're still in your sins and disobedient to God, if you haven't repented yet, God will even make your wrath crazy. Because, as I mentioned a moment ago, the time is coming that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, don't tamper with spiritual things, divine things. This may be the only opportunity that you'll ever receive, you'll ever get to take in and believe and receive the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. Now is the day of salvation. One of the things that caused John to fall down and worship before the angel was this, that the angel said the time of fixation is coming. The time is fast approaching when they that are unholy will remain unholy still. They that are unrighteous will remain unrighteous. They will never be able to come out of that condition of rebellion and disobedience and their own personal sins. But throughout the ages of eternity, fixation has taken place, and you'll continue on in your sins. And where Jesus is, you cannot come. But notice what it says very definitely. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Oh, think of it. Think what is at stake. And if you are saved and know it this morning, surely you ought to say unitedly, hallelujah, what a Savior. No longer in my sins, but in the Savior, a man in Christ. Oh, what that entails. Are you in your sins or are you a man in Christ? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am the bright and the morning star. I love those words, and we're going to hear them quite often now until the 25th of December. And it's the words of the wise men. They had traveled, no doubt, I can say, thousands of miles. following a star, which it would appear periodically. And when they got into Jerusalem, they at first didn't see the star. And they cried out, "Where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Think of it, they had to go down through that city that was religious to the core, that had the greatest religious building that this world has ever seen. They had doctors and lawyers. They had men of intelligence. And yet they didn't know that Jesus, the creator of the universe, was born down at Bethlehem, just a few miles south of Jerusalem. Didn't know it. And they cried out and they said, "We have seen his star." Don't you like that? H-I-S. His star in the east. And we followed it. And you remember that as they went on, the star stood over the place where the child was born. But my emphasis this morning is upon his star. Oh, I love to think when I look up into the heavens. Been deer hunting a few times this fall. Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, even before 5. And wasn't it blessed to look out and to see that bright and morning star? And to think that it is his star. Oh, I know the scientists will tell you the morning star is this star one day and it's that star the next. But I'm telling you, it's his star. And he is the bright and the morning star. Don't you love it? And I think of him being hidden up there. And then I say to myself, oh, this is the darkest part of the night. And it's growing darker in the world. Men are beginning to fall into confusion, trying to make world banks, one nation trying to rule the world. And I understand now we're working hard on world government. All of these things happening, but I think of the one who said these lovely words, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but in me peace. Be of good cheer, for I'm overcome the world. I'm the bright and the morning star." And then I begin to think, take a little estimate, you know, of myself. Good now, once in a while, you know, to think of yourself. And I begin to say, it's high time for you to wake out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. How about it? Oh, I listened last night to a brother praying at the missionary meeting, and he prayed fervently that we might be more active, that we might be filled more with the goodness of God, and that we may show forth his praises. And I thought how true it was. There seemed to be a measure of lethargy and indifference. And then when I think of the Lord Jesus himself saying, in resurrection, as he walked in the midst of the churches in the book of Revelation, he said, "You're neither hot nor cold. I would to God that you were one or the other. I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm." And then he says, "As many as I love, I chasten." Never, never does he leave his first love. But even when we get indifferent, I love to think of his child training. And I thank him for every stroke he's ever put on this body of mine. It worked for my good, that the peaceable fruits of righteousness might be made manifest. Oh, how blessed it is to hear him speak out of the glory with that sweet and crystal name, and then to say, I'm the bright and the morning star. I'm going to bring in, I'm going to usher in the broad daylight. You know what happens when he speaks like this? It's catching. It's catching. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. You see, the Spirit of God is in the saints. And the Spirit of God is down in the world, convicting and convincing men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But there's movement here. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Would you like to see the morning star, the day star, arise with healing in his wings? I would love to see it, wouldn't you? Oh, to bring in the broad daylight. Set things right as they are. Then all of these national policies and the manufacturers' policies and all of this bargaining and deception and man's wisdom will be set aside. And the wisdom that is from above, which is full, pure, peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, will be in all of its evidence. He's coming back again. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Oh, we've all heard this morning that Jesus is coming back again. Can you say, come? Do you have that bridal affection evident in your heart this morning? You know what it is, that bridal affection. Oh, how you love the bridegroom. And can you actually say this morning, come? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. You see, he wouldn't come back without his gospel going out to the world and to any thirsty soul that might be in evidence, whether it's here or there. He says, let him that is athirst come. Come where? Come and drink of the water of life freely. Oh, dear friends, there's been a fountain opened up in Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness, and it's a fountain flowing deep and wide, and it's flowing right out of the heart of the man in the glory this morning. And he's saying to you, if you're athirst, he's saying, come and drink of the water of life freely. Oh, you know what he said to the woman at the well. He said, if you drink of the water that I shall give you, there'll be a river of water in you, a spring of water in you, springing up into everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? The word that I mentioned a while ago is going to come into full preeminence and development. And that is the word fixation. Things are going to be fixed one of these days. There'll be no change. I would advise you in love for your soul, and not near as much as the Lord Jesus. His great heart of love is crying out through the Spirit and the bride, and even to thirsty ones, he's saying to those, come and drink of the water of life freely. I have noticed this in connection with the gospel. It goes out unto everyone that is in need. This is the preciousness of the gospel. Men who have no need, men who say, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, the Lord Jesus, all that he has for them is this: you're poor, you're wretched, you're naked, and you're blind. And that condition will remain until you come in your name. Well, there's a great, great big warning here of men tampering with the Bible, of men going away with any portion of it, or men adding any portion to it. And it's a warning that you ought to take to heart. You and I terrifically stand fast for the inspiration of God's Word, because all of the future of the man that tampers or would remove or add to God's Word is removed, and he is left desolate, barren, and forsaken. God has exalted his word, even above his name. It's settled forever in heaven. How blessed it is that you and I this morning can hold it in our hands and read these words. Well, he that testifieth these things, the things that he just spoke to the churches, he that testifieth these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. So let it be. This is what is in his heart. Now, this period in which we live, it's the patience of Christ. He is seated on the throne, and he's exercising patience. It's the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad to realize that the time of his patience is going to be fulfilled, and he's going to rise up from the throne, and he's coming back physically and bodily, and he's coming back for his own that are in the world. And notice when he speaks these words. Here in verse 20, there's a real response from the bride. A real response, a real movement, and she cries out, even so come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? I want to read some words of a lovely hymn that was on my heart this morning. I didn't call it out due to the fact that there were a similar hymn called, In Hope We Lift Our Wishful, Longing Eyes, waiting to see the morning star arise. How bright, how gladsome will his advent be before the sun shines forth in majesty. How will our eyes to see his face delight, whose love has cheered us through the darksome night. How will our ears drink in his well-known voice, whose faintest whispers make our soul rejoice. No stain within, no foes or snares around, no jarring notes shall their discordant sound. All pure without, all pure within the breast, no thorns to wound, no toil to mar our rest. If here on earth the thoughts of Jesus' love lift our poor hearts this weary world above, if even here the taste of heavenly springs so cheers the spirit that the pilgrim sings, what will the sunshine of his glory prove? What the unmingled fullness of his love. What hallelujahs will his presence raise when but one loud eternal burst of praise. In closing, I want you to sing with me, and I'll have to watch your mouths going in order that I can sing, so you must sing. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? Some folks may ask me, some folks may say, who is this Jesus you talk about every day? He is my Savior, and he set me free. Now listen while I tell you what he's done for me. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now, how about you? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, thou knowest our down sittings and our uprisings, and our thoughts afar off. Help us to awake out of our sleep, knowing that our salvation is much nearer than when we first believed, and awaken in our hearts bridal affection for him who is our divine bridegroom, who loved us and bought us with such a tremendous price, his own precious blood. We thank thee for thy good word this morning. And we do pray thee that we might live by it as we wait for thee from heaven. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. May thy love, O God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion. For we ask it in his worthy name. Amen. Amen.